Stephanie Miller, weekdays from 10 till noon. This is the WHMP Morning News.
It is the growing season in the Pioneer Valley, the sweetest season of all. And every once in a while, we like to check in with Phil Corman from CESA. As today, we're going to be talking blueberries. John Pipris is a farmer from Bird Haven Blueberry Farm in Southampton. And he joins me in studio along with Phil. And it's we're right in the middle of blueberry season, John. And John brought in some awesome blueberries. He brought me a blueberry pie, which as far as is a single serving pie, at least it's for me. This is my lunch. And he brought some edible flowers. And so, John, first of all, tell us about Bird Haven Blueberry Farm in Southampton. What are you guys doing over there besides blueberries?
We are diversifying into vegetables, organically grown, pick your own flowers. We, of course, make really good blueberry pie. It's about the only one that we make. Sometimes we get blueberries, other fruits from other farms, but it's all local stuff.
But the cash crop is blueberries.
Is the blueberries,
right? Now,
yes.
I've heard tell, and Phil, maybe you can back me up on this as well, that this is a bumper crop this year for blueberries. Is it the best crop you've seen in quite a while? Or
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's sweet. Lack of rain means it's sweeter berries.
Now, let's talk about the art of growing the blueberry because, there's different – everybody has different strategies for growing different crops. What do you have to have – obviously, you said you have to have dry conditions and warm weather to get a really good crop. But when do you start thinking about the next blueberry season when you start planting? Let's start there.
It's a lot of maintenance. One of the things that I do is prune the berries. The more you prune, the more sunlight gets between the branches, hence – the blueberry is like a little bit of a sugar factory. So that is always what I'm thinking. Not the quantity, but the quality.
Now you don't have to plant new crops every year, though, do you? You have established patches, right?
And I would, yes. I have about 1,500 plants right now. I would like to plant a little bit more because there's so much demand for blueberries.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what is that yield, that size of a crop? How many gallons or quarts can you put up in a year?
Well, 1,500. Well, I do have a sign that says 1 million grown. Most people say sold. No, it's grown.
See, if I owned it, it would say 1 million consumed. Because I'd be eating these things. I don't know how you don't eat these things left and right when you're growing them.
I do. Matter of fact, a lot of people just smile and laugh because every time I open my mouth, it's all blue. That's just all taste testing. So I can get the best.
It's quality control, John.
right.
Who's going to do it but you? It's your crop, right?
Somebody's got to.
Phil, this farm, obviously very successful, and blueberries are such a huge cash crop right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting, though, but when we read about weather in other times of the years, there are a couple of farms in Franklin County actually had a challenging time with blueberries right now because of the frost that hit. So when we're reading about dramatic weather in different times of the year, farmers are thinking, how is that going to affect me 3 months, 6 months down the road? What's amazing about John's farm is that you can go pick blueberries today right into September. So for the next 6 weeks, you double check with John, on his website or our website to make sure that the picking's good, but it is there for the next 6 weeks. And that is amazing when you're talking about a locally available fruit.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that. You have pick your own areas as well as your own crop, right?
Yeah, we just have our crop.
Okay.
People come on over and pick their own. I have teenagers, another crop that I grow is teenagers. They come on over and it's their first jobs, and a lot of them are very, very enthusiastic.
Do they require much watering? So you've got teens, you've got blueberries. What other stuff? Right now you're going to eat an edible flower here, and I've never eaten edible.
Yeah, we're going to do this live, I think, with Chris.
This is freaking me out. But okay, so
I love that we have no trouble like eating a mammal that walks in the room, but you throw a flower at someone and they're like stopped in their tracks.
That's a very good point. I never thought of it that way. So what? There's a red, a yellow, and an orange flower here. Now, what are these breeds?
Okay, they're called Johnny Jump Ups, different colors, and Sue, our gardener, puts it into her flour salad mix.
Really?
And are any none of them are nasturtiums, huh? Or no?
What's a nasturtium? I don't know what that is.
Okay, we'll drop that. We'll just go ahead.
I don't even know what you're
talking
about.
Go ahead with a taste test.
All right, so I'm not going to turn like orange if I eat this.
Not just your ear. Right, just depends on what side you chew on.
Well, it tastes like a regular like like a bitter grain or a
slight radish taste.
A slight radish taste. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, very good. In fact, it's very radishy. I'm going to try the red one now. I don't know. I'm eating flowers on the radio. This is a first for me.
It's flower power.
Blueberries I'm down with. I don't know about this, but okay.
Flowers to the people right now.
This is red.
Similar taste.
A little bit stronger, a little bit sharper.
Try the small one.
The purple ones?
Yeah, the Johnny Jump-Ups there.
You're dying to see me turn colors, aren't you? Phil Corman is like a mad scientist in here with me. Okay. These are it's like a little violet. I don't know what I'm... That's a little bit more mild. Good stuff. So, you put these in salads?
Yeah, can you imagine a salad mixed with that? Yin-yang type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to try the last one here while you guys are... So, now, to cultivate this, are these tough to grow? I mean,
No, not at all.
So, it's pretty easy to deal with.
It is, yes.
And they're pretty tasty. And that one, that's almost like a celery. I'm going to hit a celery off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I had four, actually, for you guys. There you go. I didn't turn purple or die or anything. So, those are delicious, actually. And I would never think to eat a flower on a salad, but... It kind of reminded me a little bit of, like I was saying, a mesclun green or a baby green kind of a thing.
Exactly. Mesclun is also what she grows.
We're talking with John Pipris from the Southampton, from the your farm is called again?
Birdhaven Blueberry Farm.
Birdhaven Blueberry Farm. And Phil Corman from CISA. Now, you mentioned diversification. Obviously, those flowers, that's pretty diverse. What are some other crops you guys are working on? And we'll talk about your pesto festival next, too, as well.
Yeah. We also grow currants and gooseberries.
Okay.
A lot of folks... that the currants, well, they're from what Eastern Europe, and they grew up with currants and gooseberries. So we are growing it for a special customer.
Now, that's not a common piece of agriculture out here. I mean, I've never heard of anybody growing those. So that's, do you have a big market for that, I guess?
Very, very big. I have absolutely nothing left in pick-your-own gooseberries or currants right now.
So that goes that comes in a little early like strawberries and then goes out very quick for you.
Yes.
Now, aren't currants available in dried fruits, right? I mean, what does a fresh currant taste like, I guess?
It's not as good as a sweet blueberry.
Nothing is.
But what it is, it's very healthy. And it's more on the tradition, because their parents have utilized the gooseberry and the currant in different dishes. Mm. And folks make great jams with both of those fruits.
I'm aware of that.
And then also the black currants are supposed to be very, very high in antioxidants.
And that's the thing with blueberries, too. And that's something that's come up recently in the last few years is people are consuming a lot more of these things because they know that their nutritional quality is right there. And when it's locally produced, it's even more so.
And if you pick and freeze, it holds its nutrient value quite well. And so... the best thing is the fresh blueberries and the incredible fresh blueberry pie. In fact, I did go picking at John's last week, and I made a blueberry rhubarb pie.
Mm.
A bluebarb, as I call it.
Bluebarb pie.
And it was great. And then I froze my 15 pounds of blueberries for the rest of the year. And so those frozen blueberries are there when I need them for jams, for shakes, for another pie.
Great for smoothies in the winter especially. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the Pesto Festival, which is next weekend. This is, again, part of the diversification. Why pesto?
Why not?
There we go.
That's a perfect answer. Now, but pesto is basil. Now, there's different kinds of pesto, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the pesto that I'm familiar with is basil, pine nuts, and extra virgin olive oil sort of made together into a sauce.
And garlic.
Can't forget the garlic. Do you grow basil and garlic into your farm as well?
Basil, yes. And we do have some garlic also. Yes.
Now, in terms of this festival, what are we going to have different pesto producers there, or how's it going to work?
It's just going to be families, somebody who has a recipe from way back when, and we're going to have different taste testing. Somebody wants a contest who has the best pesto.
Nice.
We're going to try to get a fiddler. I hope he calls back.
If you're listening to the show,
fiddler, please.
What are you waiting for? I'll make you eat some flowers on the air live if you don't call back. So this sounds like a lot of fun. Now, is it the first time you've done this, or have you done this before?
First time. This is the first time.
So this is the first ever Pesto Festival. You have a chance to go and see something totally unique, as never been done before, in Southampton at the Birdhaven Blueberry Farm. Now, this pie here that I'm going to eat in about 5 minutes after I get off the air, you produce these at the farm as well, right?
Absolutely. It's all butter crust. Everything in there is from the farm, except for, of course, the butter. But We do all the butter crust and, of course, the mix.
What I think is great, and Phil, you can speak to this as well, is so many farmers these days, and I see this at farm stands that I stop at all the time, they're branching out. It's not just about growing anymore. It's about producing a product and strengthening a brand. I mean, I think farmers are getting very, very good at being good marketers
right.
and realizing that the key is not to just sell one cash crop, but a bunch of different cash crops.
And that's, you know, been sort of at the heart and soul of CESA's work for years and years, because no longer can you just sell to one retailer. And the way farms are making a go and thriving is their ability to sell more than one thing directly to people.
And that's what, and that breeds repeat customers. It's the same as any other retail entity. You want brand recognition and people coming back for your stuff. How long have you been doing this, John?
Since 1985.
And you love it, don't you?
I love it.
I can tell you love it.
Yeah.
What made you get into farming? That's not that far off. 85. What's about 26 years? That's a good chunk of time. But what made you get into it?
Oh, probably the independent life of it. It is very, very hard work, but it's worth it when people say to me, I'm glad you're here.
If people want to stop by and pick some blueberries, what are your hours and how do they get a hold of you guys?
The hours are Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 6, Sunday, 9 to 3. Mondays, we are closed.
And 55 Gunn Road in Southampton, and the phone number, I can give this out, I assume, 527-4671.
Correct.
You want to give them a call and check out what's going on and go over and have an edible flower, which are very good. I'm going to buy some of those and freak my wife out and make a salad out of them. And she won't know what to do, because I didn't know what to do when I saw them, and they were delicious. So hats off to you, man. It's great. You're doing good work.
Thank you.
And so the Pesto Fest is July 24th and 25th, and always more information at buylocalfood.org.